Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Dearie, my famous gelatin mold. Let's make some room in here.
You keep dog food in the fridge?
It's not dog food, it's fresh pet. Real meat, real veggies.
For a dog.
For Hank.
Whatever her name is, it's just wrong.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Blog Talk Radio.
Friendly announcer, I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to
Thank you for that, Brother O. This is a product of Beverly Nation. This is Know Your Rights, and I'm your host, Terrence Strunk. On air now, calling from Lagos, Nigeria. Calling family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. This conversation was brought to you by them boys from Looking Glass Entertainment. And before I begin, I would like to thank Brother Oladeli and the O&E Dynasty family for giving me the opportunity to share my story and my perspective. The topic tonight is spirituality, a new perspective. Tonight we have two important guests on tonight. We're sharing an evening with Sergeant L.J. Caver and Sergeant Carol Russell. So we're going to get into tonight. Getting in balance is not so much about adopting new strategies to change your behaviors as it is about realigning yourself and all of your thoughts so as to create a balance between what you desire and how you conduct your daily life, how you conduct your life on a daily basis. And that was written by Wayne Dwyer. So I just want to talk briefly, trying to get everybody here on time on this thing. I want to talk briefly a little bit. Of course, in 3 days, we're going to celebrate Christmas. I want to wish everyone happy holidays, happy New Year's, Kwanzaa, I believe Hanukkah maybe. Just make sure you guys be safe out here. I see we have the vaccines out. People are taking vaccines. You still got to wear your mask. You still have to be vigilant, even with those things, if you decide to go that route. And you need to really be very careful about going that route. So I just want to say be vigilant, family. It has been quite a year. It has been quite a year. We've had it all this year, it feels like. And I just pray for a much better 2021. That's all I want to say about that. We don't want to waste any more time. We want to get into this topic. So I want to make sure, Carol, are you Sergeant Russell, are you there?
I am, sir. Good evening. How are you? And that's retired
I'm doing
Sergeant
great.
Carol Russell.
Yes, retired Sergeant Carol Russell. I'm glad you're here. Retired
yes,
Sergeant
sir. Thank
L.J.
You for having me.
Yes. Thank you for coming on the Know Your Rights show. Sergeant L.J. Caver, retired L.J. Caver, are you present?
Yes, I am, and God is good. Thank you for having me, brother.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm glad you guys have
yes,
guys
yes.
made it. That's a good start. That's
yes.
a good start. You wonder, brother, who's doing that. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, well, hello. And by the way, the sister has done good. That's a retired director of Chicago.
Yes. Talk about that. You're going to put
Russell.
That out
that's
there.
All right. Yes.
Yes, you're going to put that
Yes, that's another line on the resume, brother.
That's all right, sis. You got that.
Former acting police director. Yes, sir.
That's all right. You got that.
I see you two are primed and ready to go. All right, so that's good.
Okay.
I see your son Josh is on Facebook Live, so I see the family support, Cave. All right. Very quickly, family, everyone knows Cave is, my brother-in-law. He married my sister. God help him. He married my sister. And he's obviously a good brother. He's obviously a patient brother. So you definitely want to hear his perspective tonight. Brother O, I want to thank you for that track. It was fitting. All right, so let's get started. So, I'm going to start with Cave because I know Kyle, I know Sergeant Russell. I know she's going to go in. So let me start with Cave.
That's Cave, Russell. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, Cave, a little bit. What do you want the O&E family to know about
you? Being quite peculiar, seeing that I grew up in what is known as the hood, in the project, you know, you grow up in the hood and become a police officer. See,
okay.
You know how that is, because they, you know, they say, well, wait a minute, you know everything about us. You going to come in and then come in and then lock us up? Well, no, that wasn't my position. But I grew up in the hood, and I've become well-known to the community.
And I
tell you, it's quite an experience living as a person of the community, and also now you have to be one that helps to chastise them. It's quite a quite an experience. I've been there, and so I've been through. I've worked for the police department for the past 25 years. I'm retired now. I've been retired now for the past 7 years. I've been blessed by the Almighty. I've been blessed. So I've learned quite a few things about us and the system in and of itself. So I'm not one to brag on myself. But I've been a few steps in this life. I can tell you that.
All right,
I've been a few steps in this life.
Okay, well, we're going to talk to you tonight about what you learned from the system. You're going to share that with our family tonight. All right? Let me get to Sergeant Russell with me and have her tell a little bit about herself. Sergeant Russell?
Yes, sir. Yes, yes. Well, again, thank you for having me on. To all of your listeners, I am Carol Russell. I am a native of North Jersey, actually migrated to Trenton, came to Trenton in, I'm going to be telling my age, in like 1976. and just became a product of Trenton, which I am proud of, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I initially attended Mercer County College, majoring in, ironically, mortuary science it was at the time, changed over to funeral service. And then I switched over to criminal justice.
Okay.
I got hired by the state. It was the Division of Motor Vehicles at the time, which is now Motor Vehicle Commission. And
mm-hmm.
I stayed there. I enlisted into the United States Air Force. I did 6 years there, left the Air Force, went back to motor vehicle, and remained there until I was sworn in with the Trenton Police Department. So I came to the police department. I did several years under the direction of the late Chief Ernest A. Williams, who was the first African-American police chief in Trenton, and I was assigned mm-hmm. to community relations with him. I started out in patrol, and then I went to community relations, crime prevention division. I also worked in the schools in the city of Trenton as a school resource officer, teaching pre-K through fifth grade, stranger danger, and also certified DARE and GREAT instructor, which was, of course, the DARE program was with the drugs, and the GREAT program is an acronym for Gang Resistance Education and Training. I taught the kids 6th grade through 12th the perils of being involved in drugs and gangs. And then I went back to patrol, eventually got assigned to internal affairs under the direction of former police director Joseph Santiago, who I believe was the best thing since sliced bread for the Trenton Police Department. And, of course, you know, there we investigate our own, any complaints that come citizens concerning their encounters with police officers. I was in internal affairs for about 3 years until one of my greatest hurdles and achievements of getting promoted to sergeant, again, under the direction of Director Santiago, where I remained there until my retirement in August of 2010. So
LJ was talking a little bit about you becoming an interim director or something like that. Can you just talk briefly about that?
In October of 2018, the present mayor, now of Trenton, Mayor Reed Gussiora, reached out to me to come down for an interview. He was looking for what he wanted was a African-American female to be the police director. My name was My name was put out there. He called me. I had less than 24 hours to get ready for an interview. Went down, went to Trenton for the interview, and next thing I knew, in about 3 to 4 days, I was sitting in the director's complex as the acting police director for the city of Trenton.
And again, as
Brother Cava spoke about, it was an experience, you know, being a police officer within that department and then going back into the department as a police director. You need to know that Cave and I were not silent walkers, okay? We made a lot of noise when we were there at that Trenton Police Department. So what that tells you is, what do they say? We know where all the lies are buried. And you do know when you know a lot, people don't really want you around. So that speaks for itself. But it was an experience, and it was a very good experience. And I can appreciate having sat in that seat for the time that I did. I learned a lot.
Okay. That's outstanding. All right, so we're going to go in a little bit right now. So I'm just going to, you guys know what questions I'm going to ask you guys. So in your estimation, I'm going to start with LJ, with Sergeant Caver. In your estimation, what is going on with the police and the people of color in this country? What's going on?
In my estimation, I think we done just plumb lost our minds, first of all, and I'm looking at what in the world is going on. You know, what is it that we expect? What's going on, brother? I think there's a lack of communication. As a matter of fact, I know there's a lack of communication. There's no interaction between the community and the police department. See, because the police department has to become a part of the community, not an occupying force. And unfortunately, especially in communities of color, there's a view of the police as an occupying force. You don't have little Johnny wanting to be a police officer, or little Debbie saying, "Well, can I be a police officer?" You're having them. Well, who are those people that are standing there with guns and uniforms, and they're not interacting with us? And it doesn't mean that. And I'm not expecting officers to do that, but there's just a lack of communication and association between the community and the police department, as I see it. Just touching on the subject, just brushing on it.
Okay. All right. And Sergeant Russell, what is your perspective of that question? Like, what do you think is going on with the people, with the police and the people of color in this country? What's your perspective on that?
Well, I can definitely say, you know, depending on race, people have different relationships with the police. Black people, research has found, and this is really coming from Pew Research Center, 70% of black people have said they believe that black people were treated less fairly by the police. But then you have on the other side, our white counterparts, only about 37% felt that black people were treated less fairly than white people were. So there you have that huge disconnect, right?
Yeah.
I can speak personally about the disconnect that I knew of in my own municipality when I worked with the Trenton Police Department. And I think there was a need to have a more community policing approach. You have to think about, in policing, it's a relationship. We have to think about being in the building relationship business. Policing communities is about getting up close and personal with the people that you're providing a service to. Now, Kay can attest to this. When we would sit down and talk to our white counterparts about, you know, having that better relationship, trying to bridge that gap between the community and the police, we told them, we are public servants. We provide a service to the public. They told us flat out to our face, we're not no public servant. And to me, that let me know really how you felt about policing our community. So I want to go into what one of the police directors was, a former police director of the Trenton Police Department that came in prior to Director Santiago, and his name was James Golden. James Golden and George Clisby, and they both went out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yeah. James Golden had came to us. He was also a director in Saginaw, Michigan. And he talked about and implemented what we call the One Cop, One Neighborhood. And I was an officer who was a part of that One Cop, One Neighborhood. And I thought, for me personally, it was awesome. They had certain particular officers who would police a neighborhood, and that was your beat. Nowhere else in the city, you stayed just in a particular region in that community. And what that did was that enabled you to really build a relationship with the people in that particular sector. They got to know you. They knew you by name. I took it upon myself to get out of my police car, walk the street, every alley, knock on doors, make myself known, let the people in the community and in that particular neighborhood know, I am Officer Carol Russell. I am going to be policing your neighborhood for the next 6 months or a year or however long I'm stationed here. I'll be your officer. And honestly, I did build that relationship with that community. And I think that's what we need to get back to. As Cade spoke about that occupying force, you don't want to come into communities, any community, any neighborhood, like this occupying force and acting with brute force. Let's build this relationship. Let me get to know you and you get to know me. And especially if the officer or the community, we don't look like one another.
Our
folklores and our what we do, our cultures are very different. Let's learn about one another, not have this separation. Tell me, how do you get to know somebody? It's summertime. You have your windows up, air conditioned blowing, radio on. I'm talking as a police officer, and you ride through a neighborhood, and I'm gonna go back culturally. My parents are from the South. And do you know what we did in the South? We sat on porches, right? We sat on the porch. Anybody drove by, what did we do? We waved.
Mm-hmm.
How do you ride down the street and people are sitting out on their porches and you don't even look in their direction? He's riding by, just riding through, not even looking. The kids are waving at you. You don't even wave. So where's the relationship? There's the gap. There is a definite gap between the community and the police. And what we have to really do, we have to work hard at bridging that gap to build a better relationship. Because police have to realize something. They need the community more than they think they do.
That's right.
You need the community to be your eyes and your ears, because we can't. It's more of the community than it is of police.
That's right.
And they will work for you if you work for and with them. And all people want to do is be treated like they should be treated.
Thank you. I think we have a caller in the queue, Sergeant Russell. Caller one, who am I speaking with?
Hello? Hello? Peace and blessings?
Yes. Sister Bessie.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening?
All right, and hello to your guest.
Hello. How are you, sis?
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
Hi. I'm loving the show, and it's about time. This is really done, so to hear the officer's point of view. I have a couple of questions, and hopefully I can have some answers from you both.
Okay.
It's all right? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
The first one I wanted to ask was, why are there so many Caucasian police in the black community? Is there a, is there a shortage of police, black police officers on the force for the black community?
Ooh, I wish we was having an in person forum right about now. Well, is it Miss Bessie? Am I speaking with?
Yes. Miss
Bessie.
Yes. Okay, Miss Bessie. Let me just tell you in the municipality that retired Sergeant Caver and myself worked in. We both actually went to civil service in the state of New Jersey. Our organization did. Brother Caver was the president. And we went to the commissioner of the Civil Service Commission just with that subject that you just asked. And we were trying to make mandates of officers, if you're going to come into our communities, you don't live here, we were trying to make a mandate for you to have to live here. You know, it's almost like you bidding for a house. You bid higher, so when it comes down, it kind of meets what you really want. So if you're trying to sell your house for $500,000, let's put it up to $700,000. And if I get five, I'm good, because that's what I was asking for. I want anyway. So we were asking, we want you to be here at least 7 years. So we said, how about 10 years, and maybe we could get seven or even five. They didn't even want to entertain it, because what we saw was, I think you would have a greater interest in what goes on in this community if you and your family, be it your wife, significant other, whatever gender, and your children lived in this community. But when you don't live in the community, you come in, you do your work, and then all we see is your taillights going out to the township or down into South Jersey, I don't feel that you have the genuine interest of the people that live here or what goes on here, because a lot of it's not affecting you or your family. So that really is civil service, because I can say for sure in Trenton, New Jersey, the only city workers that are mandated to live in the city for 15 years before they can move are the civilian city workers. Fire and police were exempt. And you say more of us. Well, I think a lot of us don't want to become police officers. And again, these were conversations that I know Sergeant Caver have had personally with when we would walk our beats and we talk to young people and we would try to encourage them and recruit them to come on. They were very disinterested in being police officers because of the hand that they have been dealt by law enforcement. And I'll let Sergeant Caver say more.
Well, just to add on to that, sis, that as you said, the number of us being on as police officers or in the career, which is a very good career, why do you think that there are so many of them on it? It pays well. There's good benefits, but you got to remember something: how it initially started with our community. The police department was not a part of the community. It was a part, but it was used as, shall we say, yard dogs to keep certain things in line. And the place was, we weren't allowed to, we really didn't, well, I can't say this. We did have black officers on the police force. And that's because of certain laws that were put in place. But to have children interested and to have our community interested in our tool, which is what a community service is, which is what the police department is, it's a community tool, then that tool should be used to make the community interested in them. If the police department and other civil service positions are not actively involved in trying to make the community a part of them, then what happens is now they become viewed as an occupying force. And now what happens is now you have our children and the next generation of people saying, well, listen, I don't even want to be a part of this because
part of that.
My family. My family has no, we don't even like these people technically being here in our community doing to us what they want, and then there's no accountability to us. So when you start talking about why there are so many of them, and this is nothing against our white brothers and sisters that are on there, it's just that that's how it started. The police department started like that. It was them coming in. And so when they got justified, shall we say, a lot of us didn't want anything to do with it. So now it's our obligation, since we have to understand that they are our servants, they are our tools. But as Sister Carol said, you know, they have a different attitude of being a public servant.
Yes.
For you to serve someone, that's actually belittling yourself as a person. That's how they view it. That's why they don't take themselves as a public servant. I'm a civil servant, they call themselves, but being a public servant, no, I don't serve them. What I do is I give them a service. But the issue is they have a different view of what they're doing within our community, because what they do in our community, many of them wouldn't dare allow us to do it within their community. And they know it.
Absolutely.
But their community wouldn't allow what they do in their community, because they have to answer to that community. So there has to be a change. Now, why there are so many? Well, it's a good paying job, and they don't have to answer anybody. And guess what? They do what they do, and they leave, and guess that's it. Then they come back in and do it again. You don't see them no more until the next day, until their next shift. So that's why it started off with them being the majority of the people working in our communities, and that's what we got used to. So now what has happened is that now we have to change our minds.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that response. Sister Bessie, do you have any more questions quickly so we can move in? Okay, one more very quickly.
Yes, I do. Why has the police forces gotten so militarized in the last decade?
Very quickly, YouTube, if you don't mind. We got more callers in the queue. Thank you.
I know we Sister Bessie really not stumping us, but and that is about that occupying force that we talk about. You know, they come in with that brute force.
Mm-hmm.
It's like dehumanizing us. Like you want to roll over us with tanks.
Yes. Yes.
It's we don't see you.
Is that good, Mr. Bessie?
And you have to also realize
I don't
want to
take up too much time on the air, but we can discuss this further.
Thank you so much. I'm in support of you. Thank you so much for coming on Terrence's show. And thank you, Terrence, for doing this. Peace and blessings
thank
to
you.
Both of you.
Thank you, ma'am. And likewise. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Call in, family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Okay, I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller, who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Angela calling from Myrtle Beach. I just wanted to call in. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, Commissioner.
I'm sorry. How y'all doing tonight? This is an amazing show. I thank you for this show, and I thank you for your guests. I thank you guys for your service. I thank you for what you have done. And thanks, Sister Bessie, for calling in. She had some amazing questions. So I thank you. I'm just glad for this show tonight. I don't have a lot to say. I'm just excited that people are actually getting to hear from police officers exactly what's going on in our community. But how can we make a difference? How can we change this? What can we do as the community? That's the question I'm asking the community, those that are listening. So while they continue to listen, I want them to think about what can they do to change this perspective. And thank you for the show, Taryn.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. You said she's our commissioner. Caller, I think we have another call. Caller three, in the, am I speaking with?
Yes, it's Jerry Petito. How are you?
Hall of Famer. How are you doing, Jerry?
I'm good, sweetheart. So first I want to say hello to your guests and to you. You know, I live in the Trenton area, actually, Robbinsville, New Jersey. And I have a lot of family and friends, officers and detectives in Trenton and in Robbinsville. My cousin is actually the chief of police in Robbinsville.
Okay.
And, you know, I just want to say that I want to thank you guys for your service, first of all, because to me, you guys put your lives every day on the line. And, you know, I remember, you know, growing up and thinking I wouldn't mind my child being an officer, you know. Not today. My grandson is 19, and I wouldn't want him to be one. And it's heartbreaking because I carry around these little prayers. They're called policemen's prayers, and I laminated them, and I have them in my wallet. And I'll go up to officers in parking lots, and they'll look at me at first, like I'll pull my car up to them if they're sitting in a parking lot, and I'll hand them one. And then all of a sudden they're like, wow, thank you so much, because you guys need prayer. And, you know, I just want to thank you for this show tonight. I mean, what you're saying is incredible. And, you know, that's what I want to say to your guests. Okay, so thank you for that. But, Terrence, I have something I would also like to say to you. Are you sitting down?
Yep, I am.
So, Terrence, I want to congratulate you. 2020, O&E, Syndicated Station Linear, new host of the year. The broadcasting pop star, baby. That's what you are. Tara Strength on your O&E syndicated station, all-time connection record with your 28th, man, all-time and 27th consecutive. Get out of here. Number one all-time in the O&E Hall of Champions. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Congratulations, Brother Tara.
Yes. Congratulations. You get there.
Are you kidding me?
Wow. Thank you.
Terrence,
thank you,
you're awesome, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for the show tonight. And again, thank you for your service to your guests. God bless you all.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, sis. Thank you very much.
Okay, she didn't hear me.
Oh, all I'm right. sorry. What's that?
Right. I said, tell everyone when your show is. Your show.
Okay. Uh-oh. It's every fourth Tuesday night at 9:30, and it was this past week. I did two, so I'm so confused because I did a Saturday one, but I think it was this past Tuesday, and so it'll be 4 weeks from that, 9:30.
What is the name of your show? I'm sorry I missed.
That's okay, sweetie. It's the Jerry Petito Show.
Jerry Petito. Is it G-E-R-I-P-E-T-I-T-O,
the Jerry Petito Show, yep.
Jerry Petito Show, okay.
Okay.
Tuesday, it's same as what you did tonight on
O&E.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
I get
thank
the information.
You so much.
Yeah, you can get the...
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
All right. I think, Brother O, you have a track for us right now?
Little ghetto boy, ghetto street. What you gonna do when you grow up and have to face responsibility? Will you spend your days and nights in a fool world? Will you sell cats of madness to a neighborhood little ghetto? Much pain and misery. Little ghetto boy, your daddy was blown away. He robbed that grocery store. Don't you know that was a sad, sad old day? All of your young life you've seen such a misery and pain. Oh, young man, I'm a fool. Look, young
Okay, thanks for that, brother. Awesome song. Appreciate it. All right, so we want to keep this moving very quickly. So I just want to ask you too, getting back on point, give me your opinion of the fatal shooting of Walter Wallace Jr. that happened, I think, a month or two ago, whatever, and how it could, if possible, it could have been handled differently. LJ, give me your perspective on that.
But anytime you take a person's life and you can look them in the face and do it, that's That's not something easy to do, man. I mean, you know, my heart goes out to the family, but my heart goes out to those officers as well. That's you know we tend to trivialize taking a person's life with Hollywood and the video games and everything else. But taking a human's life is not very easy, at least not with me. That's just something that shouldn't be in you, but unfortunately you're given the authority to do it. But just looking at it, could it have been handled a different way? Well yes, it sure could have been. It could have been. That's you know. But when you're talking about now, here you are in a situation, and now you're facing someone that's coming towards you with a weapon, so to speak, and you're telling them to drop the weapon, and they just don't. You know. Now could different things have happened? Yeah. In retrospect, you can always say this could have happened, this could have happened. But I look at the officers, and it's very, very, for me, it's very, very difficult to say, well, okay, now what do you do when you're telling them to drop the knife, and he won't drop the knife, and he keeps coming towards you or towards your partner? Now, what do you do? Now you know what you're trained to do and what you have the authority to do. Those steps, are you justified in doing it? And that's where it all comes down to. It all comes down to people in retrospect reviewing your actions under what is one of those situations where it can just tip or totter either way. Now I look at it as saying, well, they told him to stop. Could his mother have done something else? Yes. Were they justified? That's and I'm just looking at just being trained as an officer. Well, what do you do? Do you keep backing up? Do you keep saying, drop the knife? Do you keep saying, don't go towards my partner? What do you do? Now, you got seconds to make that. Then you got people yelling all around you, telling you what to do, because they think they know what they think they want you to do. It's a very, very questionable situation. But I see it. Now, they did tell him to drop the weapon. They told him to drop the weapon, and they fired. Unfortunately, that's the ending of it. Now, can they go back and go over and say, well, you could have did this? You could, yeah, they're going to do that because you took somebody's life. That's not easy to do. That's not, and I don't think we should ever trivialize it. But just looking at it, man, I look at them as operating as officers. They didn't go there. I can't say they went there looking to kill somebody. But that just happened because you got to remember they went around the car a couple of times trying to back away from it. So I'm just sorry that it happened that way, bro. And you just can't say, well, were they right? Well, as looking as an officer, you can't say, yeah, they're justified. But looking at but that being your brother or that being your father, they could have done this. Yeah, I know, but that's hard. That's a hard decision to make. You got 10 or 15 seconds to make that decision. So I'm not, and the question is, well, why did he come out with the knife in the first place? I give my judgment on it is that the officers, they were justified in what they were doing. Now, will they find it some other way? I don't know, but that's a hard position to be in, because that little piece of steel can do a lot of damage to you, bro. And it only takes them a couple of seconds to cover several feet of several distance of feet. And I just, it's just a shame that it had to happen like that. I'm sorry that it happened in front of his mother. That's just, So I can only give that part as far as I'm looking at it. That he forced it into another situation, man. And I'm just sorry that it happened like that.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for that. Sergeant Russell, what's your perspective of that situation?
Well, a few things. I can agree with just about everything that Brother Caver just said. It's a couple of things. We discussed this.
Yes.
You talk about Monday morning quarterbacking, training,
split-second
decisions. What do you do in the heat of the moment? The shoulda, coulda, woulda,
What were we trained to do? And when I say we, I'm talking police officers. So there's going to be times where more than others that I'm going to speak like I am still a police officer, because, you know, they say it's in you, it's embedded. Once you've been trained, that's hard to get rid of. You know, what do we do first thing we get up in the morning? Our bodies have trained us. The first thing most of us do, we go to the bathroom, then we get up, we start brushing our teeth. You know, it's like we're on automatic, right? Same thing with police officers. And then I get to the piece of how imperative I feel that it is for officers to have mental health training.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to comment on something, you know, when you're not in the situation. We can stand back and we can watch the videos, and even someone from a window who's recording it, they're not in the situation.
Right.
And there's going to be times, even from our training, we miss or we don't miss. And what we are trained to do is we are trained and we are justified in elevating in our force.
Mm-hmm.
You meet force with the force, but we can elevate in force. So
right.
this young man had a knife. Now, it turned out I think it was a butter knife, but a butter knife can do damage. A butter knife can kill you. If it's given enough force from the other end and you're stabbed with it and it's hitting the right area, it could kill you. And then another question becomes, we don't know what may have triggered this young man, right? We don't know what was going on. And suppose he now all of a sudden turned on his mom, just say hypothetically, and maybe went to stab her. What would the public think about that if he did? And maybe the officers paused and didn't do anything. And what we are able to do legally and justifiably is to fire our firearm to preserve the life of another. So it's really hard. And I say I don't like the Monday morning quarterback. And so everyone knows what that is, you know, talking about the shoulda, coulda, woulda, and couldn't they just shot him in the leg, and couldn't they use the taser? Well, everybody doesn't use tasers. Our department doesn't, the department I retired from, they don't use tasers.
Mm-hmm.
When we were on the job, we didn't even have body cameras.
That's right.
Right.
Our former department just recently implemented body cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Within the past, three years, I would say, maybe 3 to 4 years, they just recently got body cameras. So, you know, it's difficult to say what the officers should have did. And I believe in the heat of the moment, in the situation that they were placed in, looking at what they had, they did training, taught them to do.
Right.
And unfortunately, as Brother Kavis said, you know, it did take the life of this woman's son, and which is so tragic. And I just, in my mind, I can't stress enough how I just am really glad that it has come about that our New Jersey Attorney General has mandated that police departments in New Jersey give mental health training to their officers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sergeant Russell. I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller 4, who am I speaking with? Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
What's your name?
Yes, my name is
Brother.
Brother.
Peace and blessings,
okay.
Cave and Cal.
Hey, brother.
Likewise, bruh. Good to hear from you, brother.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have two questions. The first one is, what impact do you think police unions play in the mindset and attitudes of police departments?
Mm. Mm.
You want to take this?
So you can take that one first, and then I'll give you.
Saying that we were kicked out.
You know what? Let me just say this. I'm gonna kick you out there, brother. Brother Terrace.
Yes.
This young man that just called in. This young man, brother.
Mm-hmm.
He just asked the question about what impact do we think the police unions have, right? I think he knows very well, but that's a very good question. This brother worked with us for years. He was in our organization, very instrumental, very strong brother, community brother,
mm-hmm.
and excellent officer. He was a training officer in our academy, which is, I say, there are two very important entities within a police department. And I think the most important entities in the police department, number one, is the police academy, because mm-hmm. that's inception. That's where everything starts for you to become a good and effective police officer in the police academy. That's where you get your training. And this brother was a training officer in our police academy. The next entity is internal affairs. Because that's where the discipline, if any complaints come in, let's see now how the discipline is and the disseminated and pushed out, and how the investigation goes, and does everyone get exonerated, or is every complaint not sustained? Very two important entities. And I just wanted to say that because this brother right here, he was at the top of the list. Excellent firearms instructor. He was at the top of the line in our department. So I thank him, first of all, for coming on. And to answer your question, yes, police unions have a very strong impact.
Okay.
Brother Taver. I can say that, and you can finish up. you may want this brother to come on your show at another time.
Yes, sir.
Brother Terrace.
Yes, sir.
You want this brother to come on and do some.
My brother's a police training officer. That's what he is.
Yes.
He's a police training officer. So and trust me, yes, he does. He knows. He knows those little intricate details of what.
Go ahead, Brother Caver.
Cave?
Okay, his line is still open. Brother
Can you
Caver?
Hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. We hear you now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I just wanted to say that this brother here, this is about trying to set the mold of the officers. That's what this brother here would be an excellent.
Okay. All right. Well, Kate, we're going to keep it moving right on because I have another caller in the queue.
Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you when you're talking.
He's cutting out. He's cutting out.
Okay. I wonder what's going on. That's his phones. Okay. Hopefully you guys can hear me now, right?
Hear you now.
Okay. All right.
We're going to the next caller on the line right now, guys. Caller, you're on the line right now with Terrace Durant and Know Your Rights right here at ONA.
Hello?
Okay, caller. There you go. All right, caller, you're on the line right now.
Yes, can you hear me?
Hello? Is that Brother Hooney? Brother Hooney?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? Yes.
I'm doing excellent, sir. Once again, congratulations, Mr. Popstar, and much respect to your special guest, man. I always love your show. So let me get right to it. I got a Actually, I got two questions. I don't know if I have time enough to answer. The first one is, why is it that the bad cop, for some reason, can outdrive the good cop? Because every black man, woman, or child that gets killed is always blamed that the bad cop got there first. I have yet to see a good cop show up on the scene before the bad cop get there. Is there any way you could, y'all, either one of y'all can answer that for me?
You said, why do the bad cops outdrive the good cops?
Why is it? Yes, ma'am. Why is it that every black man, woman, or child that has got killed, you know, definitely over 400 years, but I'm going to bring it right down to recent, within the last 5 years. It's always the black cop, not the black cop, I'm going to deal with him in a moment, but the bad cop, for some reason, can get to the scene before the good cop. I for the life of me, I cannot seem to make reason, since y'all, you know, working the police force, maybe y'all can answer this question that went unanswered for such a long time.
Well, can I first ask, may I ask you, do you want to name the town you're in that you're talking about? What town are you from?
Well, I live in good old Nashville, but I'm just saying everywhere throughout the United States of America, it's always a black. Okay, let me. Here's the scene. Let me paint a good cop, bad cop scene. I don't know if y'all are familiar with this story. There was a black woman, a melanated woman, that was fighting this heavy set white cop, the so called good cop. Are y'all familiar with this one? I don't know exactly where it's at, but you can look it up online. It went viral. Okay, so here comes the so called black cop, right? This dude looked like a former football player, a bodybuilder. He's going to come and catch this melanated woman by the blind side, right? He walks up on a sideswiper and hits her and knocks her out. That's the type of issues that we have with the so-called black cop. Because when something like that happens, it's bad enough that the car can't. See, they've been doing stuff and getting away with it for hundreds of years, and they got accustomed to doing that. They have yet to be reprimanded for it. Matter of fact, they can find 101, matter of fact, not even 100. They can find 1,000,001 excuses on why they do what they do and they can get away with it. Okay, but I want to zone in on this good cop, bad cop thing. So the bad cop, in the image of the so-called black guy, he hits this melanated woman, sideswiper, and knocks her out. I did not see the so-called good cop in the image of the Caucasian. He didn't reprimand the so-called black guy. He didn't arrest him. See, these are the type of issues that we are facing as melanated people, people that have been through hell and beyond. When you got a so-called black person or any image of us do that to a woman, a melanated woman, that possibly could have been his mother, could have been his grandmother or wife or sister or aunt or daughter. You get what I'm saying? Something is wrong with that picture. Something is really, really wrong with that picture. And, of course, I have not, how I feel what should have been done to somebody like that in our hands. Bottom line is, thank you so much for coming on Terry Spence Show. But I definitely want to put that out there. The so-called good cop, bad cop, that's a perfect example. Look it up on the Internet. It went viral. The so-called good cop did not reprimand this so-called black cop for what he did to this black woman. This guy was so big, if you take a look at him, he could have grabbed this woman. He could have grabbed her, came out there and knocked this woman out in front of the world, in front of our children, in front of our open enemies. The whole world was watching this.
Well, in that particular situation, I would like to see it before I even would comment on it. But what I can say in maybe any other instance like that, I feel sometimes we, and when I say we, I'm talking about officer of color, in order to possibly be accepted, we want to say, well, I can do it too, what you do. And the, our white counterpart will sit back and let us do it to our own people so they don't have to.
Move traumatically. Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you can just understand what I'm saying to you. And we've seen it in the department we worked in. Like, our people can be more brutal to us than our white counterparts.
Yes.
And our white counterparts will sit back and just let us brutalize our own so they won't have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are some in every department where there are both black, white, and others.
That's an excellent answer. What I want to do is I want to say what I got to say and put it on pause and listen to the rest of the show. And the last thing I want to say, there's no way in hell Caucasians would allow black men to shoot up a Caucasian men, women, and children and get away with it. If the shoe was on the other foot, this entire United States would be under a civil arrest, a state of emergency, and the whole world would have something to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your go ahead, LJ.
I didn't want to take up too much time, but I thought that that I heard that he said that she was fighting with another officer, and he came up and he assisted the officer. I feel like Director Russell, as she said, you know, we would have to see what took place, you know, because if she's fighting with an officer, another officers are going, they're going to come to assist the officer, whether she see him or not. The issue is, you know, how do we handle that situation? You know, do you arrest an officer right then and there on duty? You know, that's the type of things that mm-hmm. the community has to get involved in. If they're going to try to set rules and regulations, then they're going to have to start meeting with their tools, and calling them to task, calling them to accountability. If that's what they want from their tools, that's what they're paid to do is service them, part of that whole process.
And that, too, goes along with cops being misunderstood and
right.
the public not really knowing what our job really entails.
Right.
And then what Brother Caver was talking about, too, is we only see portion, when I say now I'm saying we, meaning the civilians, when we see little snippets on Facebook, we see the videos. We don't see the entire, I think probably the only entire video we saw entire was George Floyd and even Philando Castile being shot in his car in front of his fiance and his daughter.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, and there could be more. There probably are more, but there's other things that precipitate. Even Eric Garner, really? You choked him and killed him for selling Lucy's? Like, you know, that's, for me personally, that's beyond my comprehension. And we could go on and on and on. There are so many. We'd be on here all night. But again,
right.
I think, you know, policing is a thankless job. It really is. And I compare my whole entire career, and this is nothing against this other occupation I'm getting ready to name, because I have friends there, and they do awesome jobs because their job is just as dangerous as ours, or firefighters. But what we do see mm-hmm. is no matter what the police do, no matter what we do, it gets scrutinized. You know, lately, especially around the holidays, police officers are trying, different municipalities are trying to reach out, and they're giving, instead of handing out tickets, I noticed one, they were handing out cards with $100 bills in them, you know, really trying to make people's day. They thought they were going to get a ticket. No, they got a card with a $100 bill in it. So, you know, almost, you know, trying to, especially around this time of the year, around the holidays. But those small snippets, one thing you do in your entire career will overshadow all the good that you ever did in your career.
Yes,
right.
And the job becomes thankless, and I was going to say, to say firefighters, because what we do is we take people, we strip them from their freedom, we're running after them, we're chasing after them, and we lock people up, right? Firefighters, what do? They run into burning buildings and they save lives pretty much all the time, which
right.
is needed. But policing is needed too, and there are multiple ways that we can do it so there is peace and cohesiveness within the community. And when I say I think it should be a stronger approach to community policing, building relationships with the people in the community, that does not mean take a soft approach on crime.
Right.
It doesn't mean that at all. Not in my book, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
We still got to fight crime. You got to still put the bad guy away. But even with putting the bad guy away, and Cave and I worked together doing that. He went out on a gun call. And over the radio, they're asking, dispatcher, where's our backup? No, nobody's available. Even the guy he was arresting said, man, that's really, and I'll say, not say the word, but he said, man, that's really effed up. They're not coming to back you up. Like, the criminal even saw that, but we still treated them with respect. We have to lock people up, but we don't have to dehumanize a person doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the sad part about it is it's really sad that you see George Floyd over what they said he was trying to pass a counterfeit. How do you know he knew the $20 bill was counterfeit and he lost his life over that? You don't have to dehumanize a person just because you're locking them up for anything. Even if it's a homicide.
Right.
You do your job, and it's not your job to induce the punishment. That's left up to the judicial system. We're there to apprehend and enforce the law.
Gotcha. Sergeant Russell, I want to thank you for that, for those comments. I think we have a track down from Brother O. Brother O. Thank you.
different dimensions. They dig my dimensions. When people say that's okay, they don't bother me. I'm ready to make it. Don't care what the weather. Don't care about no trouble. Got my stuff together. I feel no kind of protection that's all around. I've been for real, baby, with the trouble man.
By Terra Strength tonight, and of course the Beb That All Time Classic right here on your wonderful WBNN. We'll take some calls right now to talk about this show and its outstanding eminence. Call number one, you're live right now with the original Beb That Classic. Caller, you there? All right, caller not there. We go right into it. Anybody want to press one to join the conversation tonight? You can already do that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, time is tight. We end the show at this time. So I give, you know, a little bit, you know, about 4 minutes to do, you know, do that. But, of course, Terra Strength has done some great work with us here at WBNN. And we're so proud of him and his endeavors. That show gave us, you know, an outstanding 28th, you know, championship with him. And 27th all-time in a row. And this man hit 33 all-time tennis records. It was wonderful. Let me get another caller right now. Caller, you're live right now with the original Beb That Classic.
I come up hard, babe. I love to fight. There's three things I know. Taxes, death, and trouble.
Yes,
all the
indeed.
All the things want you know what? Man.
Amen.
Hey, but you know what? On the real, you can see why our Terra Strength, man, here at WBNN, why he became nominated, and not only nominated, to enter into one of the most prestigious halls when it comes to broadcasting, man. I'm talking about the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame. That's well-deserved, man. I mean, and that's just what we hear live on the air, broadcasting live out of Lagos. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. But here's the thing now. The brothers also, man, the camera loves our brother, man. I mean, to me, he definitely got it, man. He's brilliant. And the shows that he brings us, man, and the work that he's putting in during his visit here doing Mission Planet Earth, man, is definitely one for the Hall of Records, man. Love him.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, you know, imagine – you know, all the greatness of our wonderful host here at WBNN. And listen, you know, listen to the archives as they are in prosperity. You know, what more can we do, what more can we say tonight with the young man? You know, coming here in 2019, the last host to have that prominence from 19 and continuing doing his thing, it's a wonderful thing, right, Huni? I mean, imagine the archives, you know, the body of work of Terra Strength.
I totally agree with you, man. I totally agree with you. And the great thing about it, he's still going, man. He is still going, and I know he got a lot of work to do. In fact, we all got a lot of work to do.
So, of course, with you, what's your next show? What is it about?
Woo! Hey, we're going to have another edition of Me and My DJ. And we're going to go back and revisit the black. We're going to go back and revisit during a period of time, man. They used to call them black exploitation films, man. And the first thing that we're going to do, man, we're going to revisit a classic movie with great, great actors, man. I mean, the storyline, we're going to be talking about Uptown Saturday Night, man. We're also going to dedicate it to the late, great Harry Belafonte, man. I mean, yeah. I'm telling you, I need everybody to tune in, mark their calendars, make sure you put on them bell bottoms, man, and we're going to get ready, man, because me and Hall of Fame full-time, we're going to have a one-on-one, man, just me and my DJ, man. We're going to speak about little inserts of the movie, man, and we're going to just talk about that prestigious era, okay?
Listen now, that person you just heard, the 2022 International Radio Hall of Fame Broadcast Lifetime Achiever, the 2020 Broadcast and Enshrining to the same hall, the two-time Anna Waddell Award winner for the Dave Inn Host of the Year, the outstanding Mr. Honey Bakaton. Let's go to the next caller right now and Q. Caller. You know, everybody want to follow up in spirit. That's okay. We'll go over there and ice them out. We'll bring that next caller in. Call you live right now with the original BevNat Classic.
Hey.
All right. All right, there we go. Hold on a second. And that person right there is the 2022 International Radio Hall of Fame broadcaster nominee, Christine Powell. And you know her around the world. And, of course, in Facebook, too, as she's just the one that pleases. How you doing, girl?
How you doing? Good love to everybody tonight. Can y'all hear me clear, Brother O?
Indeed.
Thank you. Much honor to everybody, the guests, the speakers, the panel, Brother Hooney, Brother O, and just everybody. And I'm kind of just sitting back, listening, embracing, very delicate to our entire world, let alone here in America, just speaking on the police in our world, you know. And I just want to speak healing to us all, to us all, to us who bear witness, to us who experience, to those who are in position as the police, the feds, the detectives, and even to us here that's called civilians, just healing to us all, peace of mind and wisdom to us all for a transformation of a one-world unity is the best that I can say to a world, honey. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's all we got left is the heart. In the meantime, shall we seek peace of mind and, again, just healing to us all, healing to us all. And the best to everybody. And I'm Jesus from the Jesus Show. My show is the last Thursday of every month, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And just much gratitude to everybody. And I'm going to just sit back and keep listening, y'all. Much love.
Thank you, Christine. You know, this young lady has put forth a body of work that is outstanding and will stand the test of time. The next caller right now, you know, the original BevNat Classic with, of course, Know Your Rights, Man's Terrace Strength.
Hello, Brother O.
Hey.
How you doing this evening with this lovely
class? How are you? How are you?
This is Mo Gorman. How are you?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I tuned in a little bit late, but I remember this show quite vividly. And it was a wonderful show because it's relevant today. The way that the police interact with us, it's just Terrence always has a way of choosing shows that just they're always relevant, you know?
Yes. You know, our brother has put forth a body of work, you know, that is an excelsior, you know, and it's not too many times that, you know, he cannot do a show. And this is only the third time in his history since 2019 that he was not, you know, able to do a show, and I want to pick that right classic, right, Mo, that would, you know, challenge us mentally.
Right.
So, tell us about your show.
My show is Breaking the Silence, and we talk about trauma and healing from trauma and healing from oppression and things like that, and sometimes we delve a little bit into spirituality, but not quite as much as Terrace.
This is true. This is
But we try to do really talk about healing. I try to focus on healing and trying to get everybody in that frame of mind that we can heal from our wounds and we don't have to stay in a state of trauma, in a state of flux. You know, a lot of people, a lot of therapists out there, like, they treat us as if, oh, you're never going to get over this. You're kind of stuck. And I just want people to know that they're not stuck.
Well, the key is, you know, breaking the silence, you know, when it comes down to rights of people, you know what I mean, and making sure that spirituality is born. That's what you do, Mom.
Correct.
On a constant basis, and we really appreciate you right here at the one and only Beverly Nation.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that. You know, I really love you, and I think you're just awesome.
You know what, though? Love you, and nothing you can do about it. And, of course, we go right back in and talk about this show tonight. We love, you know, the archives because it is, you know, a wonderful library. And we get a chance to do that a lot because a lot of times we don't have, you know, a chance to bring on a live host. But, man, 3,492 episodes, that's amazing in itself. You know, and I got a chance to be a part to listen to every single show. What a wonderful, outstanding gift from God. And I heard everyone. I know everything that they said. I know every topic. For all the folks out there, please share this outstanding archive. It's on Facebook. Share it to everyone that you know. It's very important. And now our fifth reigning commissioner, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Hey, hey, how are you tonight, Brother O?
All right,
what a great show from the archives. You know, it was wonderful, of course, and it's a good thing that all of the shows are in the archives and like a night like tonight, and we can still hear Terrace's show, and that's good for people that missed that show and everything. And the music, I love the music tonight, especially that last song, very touching and moving. And thank you so much for this classic. And everybody, my next show is Sunday, 9:30 p.m. right here on WBNN News Forum. And this Sunday night, we're going to have a wrongful conviction. But, you know, with the things that have happened the course of this week, with there being another mass shooting, and that was today in Philadelphia, everybody, 8 people shot, 5 killed. And it's just crazy. And then there was another mass shooting. Where was it? It was somewhere else. I think it was Ohio.
In Baltimore.
It was somewhere else. Another
Baltimore.
Mass. Baltimore was with the 28 people. I'm not talking about that one. That was the other day. I'm talking about today. There was one in Philly and then one in, I think, Ohio, another part of the country. There was another one.
Yeah.
And so it's just so crazy. And then a lady whose son was killed up in Wilkes-Barre, PA. We're going to be talking about what happened with her son and why there is no investigation going on. And the high-profile individual whose restaurant it took place in, we're going to talk about that on Sunday night. So it's going to be a crazy show, everybody.
Well, first of all, everyone respects News Forum because it's always true. And, you know, Miss Controversial. That's who you are, right?
Yes, that's right. The queen of justice, too.
Indeed. So, but Miss Controversial is really, you know, how she started here on this outstanding original Beverly Nation. And we appreciate, you know, a person that always comes to bat, you know, each and every Sunday night. And, of course, you know, handling official business here on our network as a reigning commissioner. We thank you, Dr. Chinchilla.
Oh, thank you, Brother O.
Yes, indeed. What more can we say about, you know, a person that won the Lillian New Host of the Year 2020, the Sonia Griffin Award? You know, that's part of his resume. But more importantly, this man had the audacity to be a part of an outstanding academy, the International Radio Hall of Fame, last year as his enshrinee. A wonderful person, a wonderful man, an outstanding steward to when it comes down to, you know, acute broadcasting prowess. His name is Terrence Trent, and the name of his show is Know Your Rights. This has been the original BevNet Classic. Tomorrow night is a live show with our young lady. Her name is Ava Holly. The Casual Chat, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time, right here on the one and only Bev Nation. And, of course, WNN has advertising to Ngozi Time Multimedia. Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time. Ola Dele Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or welcome program tonight? Ola Dele Ngozi with my and gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dele Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Law Enforcement Radio that support us on a constant basis. Good night.